Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. I'm very excited to have a newcomer to Greensburg on the show today. She is the new director and CEO of the Westmoreland Museum of American Art. Her name is Sylvia Filippini-Fantoni. Welcome to the show, Sylvia.
Thank you, Jennifer, for having me. I'm
Oh,
very happy to be here.
We're so excited to have you new in Greensburg as well. So we can't wait to hear all about you. So let's start with that. Tell us, your previous jobs, where you grew up, and then we'll get to how you ended up in Greensburg.
Absolutely. So I actually was born in Italy many, many years ago. Let's not go to the exact age. But yeah, I was born and raised in Italy in a small town called Bergamo. It's a city near Milan, so in northern Italy. And I was lucky enough to be surrounded by art and history from a very young age. Bergamo is a medieval town, so the school I went to was like a 13th century convent. So surrounded by fresco and what I used to call old stones. And that really instilled a passion for art and history in me. And so I decided when it was time to sort of go to college to pick a career in the arts. I actually studied history. That was my first love. And then progressively I sort of realized that, even though I'm, good and I was very good in school, but I'm a social person, so I like to interact with people. And I felt that a career in museum would fit my personality better, because you kind of see the people that you are trying to engage, you talk to them, you kind of see them connecting with the art, with the programs, with the experiences that you offer. And I first started my career in Europe. So I lived in many different countries. I lived in the Netherlands, I lived in France, I live in the UK. And
Wow.
I was working both as a researcher, I was working for private companies, working for museums, and then working for different museums. And about 12 years ago, I sort of decided I had an opportunity to come to the US, which was something that for me was very important because I always felt the museum in the United States were much more community-based and visitor-friendly. I think museums in Europe, they tend to be either very academic, so it's sort of a way to explore and learn about new perspectives on art history, or they tend to be tourist destinations. So they don't really work as much as community institution, right? An institution that sort of connects with the local audience, engage them in a long-term relationship with the museum. They're not part of people's life at multiple stages in their lives. And that's what I actually like and I'm interested in. And I felt that a career in the United States would allow me to do that. And so I always went to kind of somewhat smaller places because of, that idea of like not being a tourist destination. So I started in Indianapolis. So I worked at the Indianapolis Museum of Art. I then went on to work in North Carolina at the North Carolina Museum of Art in Raleigh. And then right before starting here, I spent 4 years in Newark, New Jersey, where I was the deputy director for learning and engagement. And now I have come to Greensburg as the new director and CEO of the museum.
You are so impressive. I mean, I think you should just start hosting events at the museum. People would come just to hear you talk. I think that would be great. So I have to ask you, all of these countries that you've lived in, excluding the United States, because we know that's your favorite, what
Course.
was your
I'm
favorite?
American now, actually, so
You are, you
yeah.
are. So what was your favorite outside the United States?
Oh, it's kind of hard to pick. It's almost as if you're asking me to pick amongst like my nephews and nieces. I can't do that. But I think different places for different things. But I think that even though it's the country where I lived the least amount of time, or the place where I lived the least amount of time, I felt that maybe Paris is still kind of there at the top. And it was a mix of different things. I think the people I met there, I made such strong connections with. They are, 20 years later, 25 years later, we still talk to each other. We're still friends. We're still in each other's lives. We were at the same stage in our life. We're starting internship. We were all interns at the Louvre. And so we kind of kept that relationship going, that bond. And we all work in the cultural sector, so that meant having access to a lot of different events and exhibitions and organizations. So it was very rich, cultural life. So I would say probably Paris is still my favorite. But honestly, every place I've lived, I found something magical. Indianapolis for certain reasons, Los Angeles for others, Newark for others. I always like to find the best part of the places that I visit and learn from it.
No, it's interesting because I think so much of American art is influenced by our European ancestry, and you probably see that, right? I mean, the Italian ancestry, particularly in Western Pennsylvania, the Polish, Slovak, Croatian. You know, we have this mass immigration, and I'm sure you're just loving seeing some of that European influence on the American art that's really hanging in the walls where you are right now.
Absolutely. And the good things about American art is that it reflects really the immigrations and the stories throughout the course of history, right? So I think that, you know, in the 17, 18, 19, and 20th century, most of the influence came from Europe. Most of the
Right.
immigrants came from Europe. So a lot of the art is sort of reflective of that. And also for this time period, Europe was leading the way in many ways on the art world. So the Americans were sort of influenced by that. And then things started to change in the 20th century. And then America was actually leading the pack. So, and Europe was following. And then other perspectives have started to come in, which are, you know, from, you know, different parts of the world. You know, American art means also, you know, South American art. It means Native American art. It means Asian art, because there's a lot of sort of immigrants from these parts of the world, and so African art. So I like the fact that it's such a multicultural country, so that the art really reflects all of these different experiences. And working for a museum, that it's really trying to expand the narrative and kind of encompass all of these different perspective and experiences from the past to the present to the future.
I think you walked into a great organization personally. And I think any listener would tell you the same thing. Anybody who's visited the Westmoreland Museum feels welcome, you know, is engaged. I always feel like the exhibitions are just so well thought out and so well done. And I'm sure you can't wait to jump in and start interacting with the community. It seems like your personality will be perfect for that. Tell us what attracted you to the Westmoreland Museum.
Well, first of all, I always say there are signs out there that kind of brought me here. You know, I'm really a firm believer that sometimes when something comes in front of you a few times, kind of maybe you should look into it and perceive it. I actually was aware of this museum because I knew the previous director, on Crable.
Oh.
We come from a very similar background, and we had
Wow.
our path had crossed before. You know, it's going to the same conferences and sort of meeting in that way. So I did know her. And so when she left, I got a message on LinkedIn that sort of mentioned it. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And at the same time, I have a very good friend who used to work. It was a colleague of mine in Newark, and she used to work at the Carnegie in Pittsburgh. And she knew Judy. She knew Barbara, previous director, previous curator of the museum. And so she also reached out to me and said, hey, you know, they're looking for a new director. Is it something you're interested in? And I was having a good time in work. I wasn't kind of mentally ready. And then the third sign was that I was contacted by a few months later by a recruiting agency that was looking for to place a position in a different museum. And I said, you know what? I'm not interested in sort of a lateral move. At this point, maybe I'm looking for a directorship position and a smaller institution. And then they mentioned the Westmoreland. And at the point, it was like the third sign. And I said, I've got to look into this. And so I spent a little bit more time getting to understand the museum through the website. I came to visit during the interview phase, and I realized that this was a great sort of next step for me in terms of like what I'm interested in, what I care about are visitors and the community. I don't come to museum from a traditional curatorial background, so I'm not an art historian. I do have a PhD, but I studied more the sort of visitor side of it, audience development, audience communication with the audience,
Wow.
education side of things, technology. And so for me, what I'm interested in is visitors and how to engage new people that would normally not come to a museum, and how to connect with communities, how to reach out, create partnership opportunities, and expand the audience. And I felt that this was a great place to do this. It's a museum in a community that offers a lot of opportunities for us to engage new people, to connect with at a deeper level. There is a sort of a transformation going on, or a push for transforming Westmoreland and the Greensburg right now. So it's a perfect time for us to think about what role can the museum play in this process.
Oh, I think it's
so
great.
That was, it seemed like the perfect fit in that respect. And so I want to be in a place where people, you know, that is important in people's life. And what I like about this museum is that people get married here. People do their baby showers. People bring their kids. When they grow up, they bring their own kids. And so that sort of special relationship that is established across generation and across time is really something that is what I'm interested in creating those special connections between
I
people
love it.
And music.
It's so true. I mean, it's so true. And that, let's think about how any organization survives and thrives. It's bringing the next generation into their work, into their operations. And if you can't do that, if you're not focused on that, then it dies, right? And so this is very important. Tell me about that. That technology is very interesting. So not just marketing technology, but probably interactive, like sort of experiential art.
Yes. I mean, yeah, that has always been a big focus in my career. That's how I started a museum, really. The early jobs that I did were managing technology-based projects in museum, and my PhD was really focusing on that. And for me, the technology, as it's not the only thing. I do program. I think that programming have also a very similar power, but technology, when used in a proper way, can be a great way to really connect with people, especially the younger generations, which are much more sort of, you know, comfortable with it. They sort of, you know, approach the world through the filter of technology. So offering an experience that incorporates that element and enriches the artwork. It doesn't have to, you know, for a lot of years, museums have always used technology in a very didactic and sort of academic way, providing more information and more content. What I like about technology is that it provides opportunity for play, interaction, immersion, and all of these things that sort of allow you to sort of see the world in a different way, play with something. And that's where really the power of technology is. And right now, in our Frank Lloyd Wright Southwestern Pennsylvania exhibition, we really have a great example that I have nothing to do with, but I was glad that I came at the museum at the right time, came to the museum at the right time, because they've used technology as a way to bring to life the vision of Frank Lloyd Wright had for Southwestern Pennsylvania. So you can see these sketches that otherwise would be just very sort of bi-dimensional on paper brought to life. You can actually see them in the context of how the rest of Pittsburgh looked like, or the rest of the sort of areas of falling water looked like. And so the power the technology has of bringing the vision of an artist to life, and that's very, 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 you know, important role. And I've always been interested in interactive, immersive, and participatory experiences. And I've done a lot of that work and in museums in the past 10 years.
I think it's important because, again, the next generation of artist or, you know, fan of art requires sort of a level of engagement and entertainment, right?
Yes,
I mean, it's
absolutely
different from when you and I grew up and how we grew up and even how we learned. Everything is different.
Yeah.
And so, you know, those visual components, I think all the senses, taste, touch, smell, that's going to become a critical component of forming them in the art world.
Yeah, engaging all the five senses is absolutely the best way. You know, all the theory tells us that you know, when you look at something, we learn something. When we look and read at something, we learn more. When we look, see, and play and interact with something, we learn even more. So, you know, the more senses we can engage, the more memorable the experience will be, and the more we can take something away from it, whether it's learning something or just even a memory of it that will stay with you, and then we'll plant a seed that, you know, maybe 5 years later will become a work of art that you create, or an idea that you come up with that develops in a business sort of venture. You know, you never know. So where people can find an inspiration, and museums are certainly one of those places.
Today, I'm talking with the new director and CEO of the Westmoreland Museum of American Art, Sylvia Filippini-Fantoni. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk about Illumination Night that's coming up on Friday, November 17th. You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Classic Hits 107.1. Listen live at WHJBFM.com.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. I'm so happy to be here today with the new director and CEO of the Westmoreland Museum of American Art, Sylvia Filippini Fantoni. Wow, you're so impressive from the name to the talk to the operations. I think it's going to be great. We're going to be hearing so much more about you. Grew up in Italy, lived in several different countries before you came to the United States. Really did a lot of work immersing yourself in American art and then finally in Greensburg. So how do you like it so far? You've been here for about 3 months.
It's been great, honestly. Everybody has been so welcoming, you know, from my colleagues here at the museum, the community, asking me how I'm doing, my neighbors, you know, coming over with presents and saying how proud they are to kind of have the director live in the neighborhood. I live actually behind a museum in Academy Hill, so not far from here. It's been really, really busy. I have to say, just going to as many meetings, as getting to know as many people as I can. These 3 months are really important to get a sense of what everybody and what this place has to offer, what this community has to offer, what the key players are. And then, you know, hopefully starting from here, working on developing a vision and a plan that of how we can be part of this community. How can we better contribute to this place, engage more people, and sort of continue to bring new ideas, new art, new things to this community.
And you have a great active board, volunteers, right? All of those people you've had an opportunity to meet.
Absolutely. I met actually one-to-one with my staff. I met with the boards. I met with our volunteers, as well as other community organizations, you know, in town. You know, I've been asked to be part of a couple of boards. I think, it's been very good.
They don't waste any time sucking you in, right? I mean, you're already part of the community. Well, that's wonderful. You know, a lot of your events are fantastic. And I wanted to mention that in my past experiences with your staff, they had alerted our community quite a bit of marketing done about the summer camps for children. And my children attended the summer camp at the Westmoreland Museum this summer, and they loved it. Like, there was a fight when it was time to go home, because, you know, they're going to be bored. They want to go back to camp. So very, very well done. And the events continue to happen. I mean, you are not slowing down, even though it is winter. So can you tell us a little bit about Illumination Night coming up on November 17th?
Yes. So this is a tradition that has now been going on for a few years. So bringing people together around the holidays and sort of light up the building. You know, we have a few interesting light moments that are being planned, but also, you know, great things for people to do. You know, we'll have this sort of mix between fire and ice this year, where there will be an ice carver, Richard Bubin, and then we'll also have fires. So Pittsburgh Glass Factory Hot Wheels will show us how to blow off some do some glass blowing demonstrations. So it's really going to be an opportunity of like meeting ice and fire. There will be some hot chocolate, some s'mores, some fire pits. There will be some music, dancing. There will be art making activities. There will be food trucks. So a lot of fun things to do. We ask people to register online. Of course, it's a free event, but we kind of want to get a sense of how many things we've got to prepare for everybody. We already have over 600 people registered, so we are very excited. And really, that's just the beginning, because the lights will stay up for the entire winter, well, or at least until the entire sort of holiday season until January 4th. And so every Thursday night, starting from November 30th to January 4th, we will have like a slightly late night opening until 8 p.m. And every night there will be some activities, starting with a winter lights heist on November 30th, music, specialty cocktail, art making. And then every Thursday night after that, December 7th, 14th, 21st, 28th, and January 4th, there will be a combination of different activity that include either live music, sort of art making. We have our holiday mart that is going to be on the December 7th and then the 8th and the 9th as well, because, you know, not you need more than one day to do your holiday shopping, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So yeah, we have a great sort of holiday season planned, and it's really like starting with Illumination Night. That will be the kickoff, and it's something not to miss. But also, bring back your family, bring back your loved one, spend a Thursday night at the museum. It's always free. And there's always something to do for all different generations. So there will be something for kids, but also there will be something for adults. So if you want to bring your friends, it's the way to go. If you want to bring your kids, it's a way to go.
So, wow. And you do all of this with limited staff, right? I mean, limited staff is creating.
Yes. I mean, I know this is incredible. I know that, you know, this is a very dedicated, hardworking staff in this museum. And but everybody's so excited to get sort of these people coming to get sort of the holiday season kicking off. So, you know, we can't wait to sort of get people here to the museum. And we'll do even more in the new year. We actually were lucky enough that we received grant from Art Bridges. It's called Access for All. That really increases our ability not only to promote our public program, but to do more. So we'll really make an effort to do sort of a community day-like experience every month in the new year. We already have some sort of Sunday fun days, which are kind of targeted towards family, but we'll also add new programs. Like in January, for instance, we have decided that, you know, when everybody is staying home for MLK, well, there is a reason to come to the museum, because we will have an MLK open MLK Day open house. So great. From 11 to 3, we will have, again, fun art making, performances, some food. So you want to make sure that you bring your kids. You don't know what to do on sort of January 15th. Well, that's the place to be. The museum is going to be the place to be and to honor the legacy of MLK.
I'm already looking at my calendar and making a note.
It's a Monday, but again, the kids should be out of school that day. So if you're really desperate and don't know what to do, and it's too cold to really, you know, let them loose outside the house, you bring them to the museum, right?
Yes. Now, why don't you talk about the facility itself? I mean, you had to be impressed when you walked in and toured the actual facility that Little Greensburg has, you know, a museum that size and that caliber. And I mean, anybody who's lived in this community has watched this enormous transformation over the last decade. Do you want to tell people at home?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's an incredible story. It's an incredible building. It's an incredible collection. I mean, you know, if you think about the history of this museum, we're turning 65 next year, and we'll do a big exhibition to celebrate the 65 years of the museum by showcasing 65 artists from our collection. And it's really going to be the moment to relive the story of this institution and how it was created, which came from an idea from a woman, Mary Marchand Wood. We had four different directors, three women and one man, which is very rare in the sort of, you know, thinking about other museums. Our building started with sort of the main building that we're in 1958, 59, and then it was expanded twice. 10 years later, we built one extension, and then the famous cantilever wing that was built in 2015. So again, not only we have grown our collections over time, but also we have expanded our building. And, you know, we have also, we own property on the other side of the road. So there might be more expansions in the future.
Oh, my. Breaking news there. Huh? Breaking news.
It's a little early to tell, but, you know, maybe in a few years we will think about expanding further.
I mean, it's good to have, you know, it's good to have even opportunities on the horizon, for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think opening up, you know, opening up that space, that cantilever space, I think I've seen more events, more organizations partner with your organization because of that event space, don't you think?
Absolutely. I think that, first of all, it's a great space. So this two-floor kind of experience, right? On the top floor, you have this incredible exhibition space, which what I love about it is how you can have a wonderful, the best view in town is from that, it's from that window. And the fact that you can kind of like appreciate art in a different way when you kind of have the inside and the outside sort of coming together. And I think it's a particularly special with Frank Lloyd Wright because the cantilever shape was really inspired by him. And now we have an exhibition of Frank Lloyd Wright inside of the cantilever. So I think that that's just kind of a spectacular connection. And then we have our community gallery on the community room on the first floor, which it's really been a great space for many, many different things, not just our own events, which, you know, we do a lot of things there. But we also do partnership events, you know, whether it's sort of, for instance, we're talking with the Symphony in Pittsburgh to maybe do an event in January. We do kind of partnership with the Diversity Coalition. So it's like bringing other events into our space. But it's also a great space for rentals. So we do actually offer an opportunity to the community if they want to have their baby shower, their wedding, their you know, staff parties. It is kind of a great space where that serves more than one purpose, really, not just our event, inviting our partners in, but also allowing, offering a space for the community to kind of get together and have a moment that it's important with their families and their friends. It's and genius. This has been such a growth for us in terms of that's where the where we can also grow our audience even more thanks to all the things that we can do and show in him there.
It's genius. And it's built in operational revenue too, that, you know, offsets the cost of all of this programming. I mean, it's absolute genius and it's beautiful and it's well done. And I agree, every time someone sets foot in there, even if it's for an event not associated with the museum, is going to look around and going to be engaged by what's there. So I'm sure you're excited to continue to put that space to good use.
Absolutely. Yes, we have some great ideas for next year. So just stay tuned. I'm going to give you a little sneak peek, but actually bringing back a very beloved event that hasn't happened in a few years, but we think it's going to be very popular, and it's Art in Bloom. Yes. So we will engage floral designers across Westmoreland County to create floral composition inspired by works in our collection and in our exhibition. And in March, we will bring this event back. It will be a 4-day event, and there will be opportunities for just coming to see these floral compositions and take photos with the works of art, but it also be a number of fun events for everybody, from families to adults to kind of younger crowd in the evening. So it'll be a 4 days of like really fun experiences here at the museum.
I don't know how you keep it all straight. Already you're so well versed on all of these different events and programming, but it's impressive. And I thank you so much. I know you're busy, but I appreciate you taking a half hour to talk with all of our listeners on WHJB. Westmoreland Community Connections airs at 7 a.m. and 11 p.m. on Sundays. And it was a pleasure talking with the new director and CEO of the Westmoreland Museum of American Art, Sylvia Filippini-Fantoni. Thank you, Sylvia.
Thank you, Jennifer. And thank you, everybody.
Again, Illumination Night at the Westmoreland Museum of American Art is Friday, November 17th. I urge you to log on to their website, thewestmoreland.org, for all their up-to-date event and programming information. Thanks for listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy.